Religion and Jefferson. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Religion and Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson was a two-time president of the United States in the early years. And he was sort of an example of the thinkers and the men of his time. They were great people. They were people who looked beyond the limitations of life and saw the grandness of everything. Jefferson's views on religion were very complex, and he was reluctant to explain them publicly. "I not only write nothing on religion," Jefferson once told a friend, "but rarely permit myself to speak on it." And Jefferson rarely did, but his life was based on the New Testament and on the books of Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John. And he took those New Testament books, and he took them from many different Bibles. And when he found the Bibles, the New Testament Bibles, to say what he wanted to say, he clipped them out and created his own Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John. Because many people interpret what these scholars, what these Gospels were about, and Jefferson was certainly one of those people. But he interpreted it in the light of his own life and his own way. Now, he was a master thinker, and he thought about what was going on inside of his own mind, what was going on inside of his own thinking system. And he was not so much thinking about what was going on in the world, but he was thinking of how he responded to what was going on in the world. My brother-in-law had a book on Thomas Jefferson, and he loaned it to me. And then he passed away, and so the book remained in my library. And the book is a very thick volume, and it tells all about the many ideas and thoughts and dreams and goals that Jefferson had, and how he traveled the then-known world and was a very significant person in the business of the world. But how was he significant? Well, he was significant because he had a foundation upon which to live his life. And his foundation was the New Testament, was the four Gospels. And he took these four books and he made them his. He made them a lifelong study. And when he retired at the age of 77, he started to create the Bible in his own image, in his own manner. And we think, wow, how terrible. How very disgusting that anyone would want to create the Bible in their own image, in their own way. Yet you and I do. We read the Bible. And as we read the Bible, we read the Bible according to our understanding, according to our background, according to our teaching, our training, according to the people we have talked to, according to the world that's around us. And our Bible is merely a reflection of what our thoughts are. The greatest Bible that ever could be written and ever will be written is the Bible you write within your heart, that I write within my heart. That Bible is the only true Bible. It is the only Bible that tells a story of what's going on. What's going on in the world and how I respond to it. Now, the more acceptable person I am based upon society and the rules in which I'm living, the more society looks at me and says, "My, you must have a good foundation for your thinking." And then they look at what I'm writing and they look at what I'm thinking, and they look at what I'm doing, and they say, "Now there is a good man. There is a very thoughtful man. There is a very fine man." And as they say this, what are they saying? What they're saying is, they are a very fine person. They are a very thoughtful person, because they are able to look at another person's life and see it as good and very good, just as their own life is good and very good. Each one of us is always comparing ourselves to the world, whether we like it or not. We're comparing ourselves to what other people are doing. We're comparing ourselves to how everyone else looks at the world. And as we make this comparison, we compare it by the highest of our values, and sometimes the lowest, but usually the highest. And as we compare it by the highest, we see ourselves in this other person. When we watch a movie, when we watch a theater drama, when we hear the life story of anyone, we like to say, "There, that was me. I had thoughts like that." Steve Jobs is currently very much in vogue, and everyone is reading about him and realizing what a remarkable man he has been and is. And what was the remarkable thing about Steve Jobs? That he took an idea and he ran with it until he completed it. He took a dream and he built upon it, and he wanted that dream to be his dream. And the dream had to be inside as perfect as it was on the outside. Now, why did he do that? Well, truly, that's the type of man he was. He was the type of man who was perfect on the inside as he was on the outside. Oh, he did some nefarious things as his life went along, but I truly believe he learned lessons by them and found that the really truthful things, the wonderful things, the valued things that we think is good and wonderful, those are the things that were the result of his life and his study and his demand for perfection from himself and from his employees and from the people he worked with. Everyone he's worked with, all were able to see that he required the best out of himself and out of them. Oh, one or two felt that he had been too tough on them, but oftentimes we feel our own parents are too tough on us when they expect the best out of us, when they expect the finest out of us, when they expect us to be the ideal being that we are capable of being. Uh-huh. And when we are not that ideal being, then our parents get a little bit tough with us and they say, "Come on now, shape up." And this is what Jefferson brought to the world in his early years. He brought it all of his life. And he continually educated himself. He continually read the great books. He continually read all of the classics. And he continually was on top of life. And he had an ideal respect for himself and for his fellow man. Oh, by today's standards, he did a few things that were not too good. But by the standards of the day he was living, they were perfectly normal. Now today, we look upon each individual life as a very precious and a very wonderful and a very marvelous thing. And as we do that, we are constantly saying to ourselves, we only want the best. We only want the finest. We only want that which is great and good. But I think, like in the words of Mr. Jefferson, when we say to ourselves, "I rarely write on religion, and I rarely permit myself to speak on it," and yet he lived that religion, the religion of his own life, of his own thinking, of his own attitudes, so completely that he left a mark of monument, a majesty on us. Jefferson cut verses from editions of the New Testament in English, in French, in Greek, in Latin, and he pasted these onto loose pages and bound them into a book, The Life and Morals of Jesus of Nazareth. And later it became known as the Jesus Bible. Can we leave anything to posterity of our beliefs, of our knowledge, of our understanding? Or are we going to always be looking at the other person to give something beneficial to life? We can, you know. We can be counted on. What do you believe? Well, There's a man who is working in the jungles of Africa, or rather not Africa, but South America. And he had a farm there, and he raised cattle. But he also was wanting to be truly a jaguar-friendly ranch. And he said, my vision was to reach to ranch by example. Truly jaguar-friendly ranches. He wanted to create jaguar-friendly ranches so that the jaguars as a animal could go from the Central America down through Africa, down to South America, and have a bridge, have a way to go back and forth so that they could do things, they could live and be happy and be marvelous. And this fellow, Thomas Kaplan, he said, my vision was to ranch by example, and he aspires to create truly a jaguar-friendly ranches, and he is doing just that. Yes, we are doing just that. Live and let live. Respect life from all forms, jaguar to human. And sometimes the humans are just as inconceivable and not understandable as the jaguar is. But the jaguar really is understandable because it's just being itself and enjoying itself and life, liking all that the world is about itself. Religion and Jefferson, what do you think? What's your religion? Do you talk about it? Do you write about it? Or do you live it? What is your way of life? What is your attitude toward life? Do you write about it? Or do you live it? Is your life a golden chalice of purity and goodness of the religion that you hold dear? And religion is what you believe. What you believe. And what do you believe? We all have many beliefs, but the belief that we have most sincerely is what we do every day of our life, and how we act, and how we walk, and how we talk. Join me in this desire to not write or speak, but to live what I believe every moment of my life. And know that I love you. I love you. I love you.